It's time to get Gruberized. Listen, I've done it. Relax. It only hurts for a while. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna
beat me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. Tuesday here on the program. Welcome back and ready to go to CPAC, of course. We're doing that, as I mentioned, tomorrow. We'll be in CPAC for the balance of the week, and you just never know what's going to happen there or who you're going to talk to, so we look forward to it. My next guest, though, always welcome here on the program, and always a great guest, Liz Peek, joining me. Liz, good morning.
Good morning. Happy to join you.
Glad to have you here. So let me, you know, I just had Mike Rogers on the program here, former FBI guy, was House Intel guy for 15 years. I asked him what we're investigating. He goes, I'm not sure anymore. You know, because he said Trump couldn't collude with the RNC. They were so disorganized.
I think there's some truth in that. And I think, by the way, a lot of the missteps from this administration in its early days really were the product of disorganization, thin staffing, et cetera. And as time goes on, hopefully those issues become less important, although, as many people have pointed out, you know, the staffing of this White House and the various agencies and so forth is way behind where it should be. Not entirely Trump's fault. They have nominated a lot of people for senior positions, but it's taking an average of something like 78 days for Senate confirmation, whereas in the past that has happened in 20 days. So, you know, this White House it's not fully up to speed, and I hope that Democrats decide at some point that the patriotic thing to do is to clear the way for a fully staffed government, because this is hurting us.
Yeah, there's no question. All right, so I want to just kind of stay up with everything that's been going on, because one of the things that was lost last Friday when the indictments came out with Russia, 13 Russian individuals, three companies, that will never be on trial in the United States ever.
Yeah.
We'll never see that. But Rob Goldman comes out. He's the VP of advertising at Facebook, and he says the main Russia, he tweets this out, and he said, the majority of the Russian spending happened after the election. Russia never intended to impact the election. They just wanted to sow discourse, and it's working incredibly well. And he basically came out and said, you know, what they're doing with this investigation is also nonsense. And boy, did he catch the heat.
Well, of course, he'll be moving from San Francisco to Los Angeles any day now, along with Peter Thiel and everybody else who feels like they're not exactly in the mainstream of Silicon Valley groupthink. But yes, he said the truth, which is, this is old-fashioned Russian propaganda in a new form. That's all that's happened here. And really, it is amazing to me the hysteria level on the left about what, to me, and I don't know, maybe I'm really out of step here, but to me looks like a lot of very ham-fisted efforts to basically amplify messages that already were taking place. That is to say, you know, one of the things they talk about is that some Russian got a person to dress up like Hillary in a cage looking like she was in prison. You know, the calls for Hillary Clinton to go to prison have gone on for a long time.
No question.
So maybe that visual was particularly impactful, but I have really yet to discover a new thought, if you will, coming out of this Russian propaganda effort. And I think you can say a lot about this stuff, but I really cannot imagine that very many Americans read these poorly written and somewhat unimpressive tweets or Facebook posts and decided to vote based on them. I think really this is just sort of a rolling tide of pro-Hillary apologists who cannot step away from what actually happened.
It's garbage. According to, and I'm going back, I pulled this article from November 3rd, 2017. The Washington Post basically saying that the Russians couldn't have had much impact, and they had all the information then, $81 million spent on Facebook by Trump and Clinton. And the Russian comments or tweets or posts, whatever, they were buried among 33 trillion with a T, trillion posts put up by Americans during that same time frame. The Russians spent $1,979 in Wisconsin, $823 in Michigan, and $300 in Pennsylvania. And for all that, people believe they swung the whole election? Come on now.
Yeah, no, it's, as I say, I mean, I think there are just a great many people who cannot stand the idea that Donald Trump was elected president. And so they continue to burrow into this you know, sort of nest of comfort that really it was all Vladimir Putin. First of all, it's very demeaning to American voters to think that they are so easily swayed by a lot of, as I mentioned earlier, very unimpressive posts and tweets and so forth. And again, the fact that so many of them came after the election, you have to, again, stand back and say, what was the point of this? The point of it is to rile the United States, to make people uncomfortable with our democratic process. Frankly, I mean, again, and I think I may write a column about this, to me, Harry Reid speaking on the well of the Senate and accusing Mitt Romney of not paying taxes, lying about that,
right,
afterwards admitting that he lied, and
outright,
and his comment was, well, it worked, didn't it? He didn't win. You know, to me, that is far, far more dangerous than what those Russians did.
And I completely agree with that. And Mitt Romney, now endorsed by Donald Trump, by the way, newsflash, if you missed that, which is, of course, the liberals like Anna Navarro, my favorite liberal Democrat, no matter if she calls herself a Republican, she's not. Anyhow, she laughing about this, saying, well, you know, Trump hates Romney. Well, yeah, that's not true. Romney came right down to Mar-a-Lago right after the election to discuss the possibility of working in this administration. I think that's pretty clear, isn't it?
That's exactly right. They definitely had several conversations about it. Look, they truly are oil and water, those two, and I don't expect them to be great buddies, and it could turn out that Mitt Romney is going to be a moderate resistant Republican vote in many circumstances. But the truth is, he's a well-known Republican. They want to keep that seat. There's no question that they will with him running. So, you know what? These politics make strange bedfellows, and those two are truly strange bedfellows. Yeah. But my guess is they will try to bury the hatchet and work towards mutual ambitions.
Probably,
there are a lot of those. So,
you know, you could run a Republican washing machine in Utah and probably win. That's the truth.
Exactly.
I want to change subjects, though, for the last minute and a half here, because I saw something in USA Today that really bothered me. An op-ed piece they ran by some B-list celebrity saying that the problem with the school shooting is much deeper. It's because the boys are broken. And this continues the same pattern of attacking boys, trying to make a testosterone a hate group, basically, and that boys are the problem in America, and we're gonna change that. Does that concern you? As you look at America?
Actually, the only thing that concerns me about young men and boys is that all the attention focused on women's empowerment must leave them feeling somewhat left behind. And I've written about this. I've talked about this. Look, our boys and our girls are all equally important. They all need equal support and opportunity. And I think that, you know, I feel as the mother of a son, uncomfortable with the fact that society is so leaning over backwards to push women ahead. I also have daughters, and I'm happy that it's benefiting them.
I think it's worse than that, though. They're demonizing boys.
Yeah,
they're making them the villains always because their school shooters are boys. Therefore, we must attack this toxic masculinity. That's what bothers me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And any sort of But you know, what society is doing is sort of restricting the opportunities for young men to act out on their aggressions. And boys have lots of energy and all those things. They need outlets for that. And the more that society tries to rein those in, the worse we're going to see the kind of repression that sometimes leads to this kind of horrible incident. And
there you go.
And I agree with you. I think that's a mistake.
A big mistake. You can't just crush them.
That's right.
I agree with you. Liz Peek, always insightful, always a pleasure.
My pleasure. Look forward to seeing you at CPAC.
There you go. Look forward to seeing you as well. 41 after. CPAC starts tomorrow for a lot of us flying in. We'll be live Thursday and Friday from Radio Row right here on the Steve Gruber Show.